triple nature of this transmission. Hermes goes by many names, Thoth, Merlin, and Fu Huasi, to name a few. The teaching represented by this fractal is the teaching of alchemy or high magic. All true alchemy concerns the transmutation of suffering through alignment with divine will. The second great teacher is Christ, whose fractal represents the transmutation of suffering through love and sacrifice. Finally, the third great teacher is the Buddha, whose fractal represents the transmutation of suffering through wisdom and compassion. Because all the 64 gene keys are influenced either directly or indirectly by the 22nd gene key, these three great fractals and their teachings form the essence of the gene key's revelation. The synthesis is made up of this great trinity of divine will, love, and wisdom. The Cosmic Mother. Beyond, behind, and between the great masculine trinity lays a fourth transcendent field of consciousness that is born from their interaction. This is the field of the divine cosmic mother, whose embrace encircles, protects, and contains all three of the great streams of the masculine avatar consciousness. Within humanity, the only direct portal to this great being is the 22nd gene key. The great cosmic mother holds the master key to all suffering and stands behind the teachings themselves. She is the triple mystery of the transmission. Although she is beyond teachings, her way is that of grace through suffering. Those who enter deeply enough into the three great paths through suffering, the alchemical, the sacrificial, the mindful, will eventually meet the great cosmic mother, since she represents the very spirit of grace that brings an end to human suffering. Contrary to the many depictions of the Holy Mother by religion, she is actually a highly ecstatic and sensuous field of energy. This is another way in which the 22nd shadow dishonors the true nature of the feminine through denying humanity the natural delights of sexual pleasure. As suffering comes to an end through her grace, true pleasure will dawn. The mother is a field whose shakti, or sexually liberated energy, actually devours your separate self, and as she does so, you experience the highest of divine ecstasies pouring through your body and aura. This is no staid grandmother figure, but a fully laden cosmic breast whose celestial milk will nourish the highest aspects of your being. As we explore the 22nd Siddhi of Grace in more depth, we shall see how all-pervading is this field throughout creation. Once you come to realize that Hermes, Christ, and Buddha are in fact three aspects of the same trinity, you will find that these three streams of teachings bring much clarity when fused together. Through Hermes and the Magi, the teachings of alchemy and transmutation came into the world. Buddha brought the teachings of karma and rebirth, and the Christ brought the teachings of forgiveness and atonement. As these transmissions have traveled down the centuries, they have become so distorted and confused that they barely resemble the simplicity of their original transmission. Over the following sections, we will reunite these three great teachings and streams of wisdom, exploring the underlying fabric of the subtle worlds and processes that make up the human evolutionary journey. The Corpus Christi, the seven sacred bodies of humanity. There have been many systems devoted to the understanding of spiritual or occult science, those subtle layers of reality beyond the five senses. The great Oriental and Indian systems left us reams of intuitive insight laid down over thousands of years of direct experience of the higher realms. Towards the end of the 19th century, much of this experience became accessible to the West, and many new streams of thinking converged. Theosophy and Anthroposophy were born, and a new era of spiritual science came into being, leading into the modern New Age, where so many ideas and lineages from East and West, both mystical and scientific, collided and merged. It is an exciting but also a confusing time as a grand new synthesis emerges from the cosmic soup. One of the enduring insights of mysticism is the notion of the subtle bodies of the human aura. Depending on which system you follow, there are between 6 and 10 major subtle dimensions or planes upon which human beings function. These auric layers collectively make up what is known as the Corpus Christi, or Body of Christ. Listed here are the 7 main layers of the human aura and their fundamental properties. The 7 sacred bodies of humanity. 1. Physical. 2. Astral. 3. Mental. 4. Causal. 5. Buddhic. 6. Atmic. 7. Monadic. 1. The physical body. The physical body forms the bedrock of incarnation. On the physical plane, the collective memory of humanity is stored in our DNA. The ultimate goal of human evolution is to merge the physical body completely with the monadic body, thus allowing the former to be assimilated back into its true essence. This corresponds to the 9th initiation, known as the glorification, which is discussed at the end of this gene key. The physical body has a subtle twin counterpart, known as the etheric body, around which the science of true health is built. Over time, the physical body more closely reflects the state of your astral body and its emotions. 2. The astral body. The astral body is the layer of the human aura that collects, stores, and transmits all human emotion and desire from the meanest to the loftiest. In the astral body, pleasure and pain are reflected as vibrational frequencies which effectively divide the astral plane into hell realms and heaven realms. The astral body is most active during sleep, when it processes your daily urges through your dream life. As the next layer to the physical and etheric body, the astral body also has a huge effect on your health. After death, the astral body is directly confronted with the true nature of every single emotional impulse you had whilst alive in the physical body. 3. The mental body. The mental body exists at a higher frequency than your emotions and is constructed from your thinking life. The mental body is greatly influenced by the collective mental body of all of humanity. This tends to pull our thinking down into the unfulfilled desires of the astral body. As your thinking turns to higher impulses, the mental body gradually disentangles itself from the astral body and takes on greater power. The mental body can also be used by lower consciousness to repress the natural impulses of the astral body, which can also lead to health problems at all levels. 4. The causal body. Sometimes dubbed the soul, the causal body directly corresponds to the physical body, but at a higher level. It stores the collected goodwill of the human soul as a memory signature written in light. This finely tuned vehicle forms the storage hub for all the high frequency thoughts, words, and deeds that we have initiated during our many journeys in incarnation. After death, the lower three bodies disintegrate, and only that which is refined and pure is drawn up and retained in the causal body. The causal body responds to higher visions and archetypes that lie beyond language, but that can still be conveyed through direct transmission to the lower three planes. As your causal body develops more lucidity, the higher bodies can use it as a means of directing higher and higher frequencies to the lower three bodies. In this respect, The causal body is the bridge between the lower and higher planes. 5. The buddhic body. The buddhic body is the higher octave of the astral body. As such, it reveals the pure truth that humanity and all the earth planes are in fact one single organism. Once your awareness is fully anchored in the buddhic body, the causal body dissolves and reincarnation in the normal sense is no longer necessary. It is through the buddhic body that human beings have access to the field of universal love and the higher ecstasies associated with enlightenment. It represents the third feminine realm of the Holy Trinity, that of divine activity. 6. The Atmic Body. As the higher octave to the mental body, the Atmic Body allows human beings access to the higher evolutions outside the process of physical incarnation. Whilst the buddhic body retains its connection to humanity through its compassion, the Atmic Body brings awareness into the cosmic field of Christ consciousness, directly merging your awareness with divine mind and heart, the second aspect of the Holy Trinity. It is through the Atmic body that the great avatar streams enter the world. It is also the realm of the siddhis, the many miraculous manifestations of the divine. 7. The monadic body. Hardly a body in our normal sense of the word, the monad is the unbridled primal essence of divine consciousness itself. It enters the world of the form through the causal body, which is the veil it takes on in order to enter the lower worlds and corresponds to the first aspect of the Holy Trinity, divine will. The monadic body is present within every single atom on all planes, right down to the physical plane. However, until awareness has risen to the atmic body, the monadic cannot be fully expressed. When it does express, it condenses the atmic body and all the others along with it, revealing true divine essence as consciousness beyond understanding. At this stage, each of the lower three bodies, physical, astral, and mental, are absorbed into their high-frequency counterparts, the causal, buddhic, and atmic, thus revealing the true mystical nature of the Trinity as three in one. Karma and reincarnation. The programming partner of the 22nd gene key is the 47th gene key, and there is much we can learn from this connection. The 47th gene key concerns the storage of world karma in human DNA. We have seen how the Akashic Ocean records all deeds through the seven subtle bodies, and how this physical storage takes place through DNA. It is here in the human genetic code that the world wound is to be found. The combined suffering and negative thoughts, deeds, and words of every human being since the beginning of time are wound up in the non-coding or junk DNA inside your body. Depending on the unique genetic imprinting of your vehicle, certain aspects of the collective karma of humanity are highlighted in your DNA, and these determine your personal karma and the essential script of your life process. All this genetic storage takes place through the 47th gene key. The 22nd gene key, on the other hand, concerns those aspects of our subtle vehicles that survive death. It is vital at this point to realize these higher subtle bodies that are said to survive incarnation are really aspects of the Akashic Ocean itself. They are like memory slates that overlap each other at higher and higher levels of frequency. At the highest levels, all the layers dissolve to reveal a single field of consciousness. This is why reincarnation is only a relative truth. It is relative to the body in which consciousness happens to be localized. With this basic understanding, we can begin to understand one of the great keys to all human suffering, the inability to accept responsibility for our own thoughts, feelings, and actions. Life gives us precisely the imprinting we can handle, and if we dishonour ourselves or others, we actually increase our own suffering in the long run. The Bardo states, many teachings exist from ancient cultures regarding the states of awareness that occur during and after the process of death. These states are often referred to as Bardo states. It is only when we combine the teachings of the Christ and the Buddha that this process becomes simple and clear. At the point of death, your various bodies separate. Your physical body obviously returns to the earth, but your astral and mental bodies, which contain all the feelings and thoughts from your current life, begin an alchemical process of separation and refinement. The negative low-frequency patterns are discarded, whilst the higher-frequency patterns are retained and drawn up into the causal body. Because you no longer have a physical body, emotions in the Bardo's after death are experienced more intensely than anything we can possibly imagine. In fact, emotions and thoughts actually assume a life of their own, appearing as entities, angelic or demonic, whose frequencies either cause intense agony and terror or intense joy and ecstasy. This process in the Bardo states is one of pure redemption, in which the subtle aspects of your being meet the consequences of your actions, thoughts, and feelings while you were in form. Every aspect of your shadow consciousness is purged and cleansed. Human intuition recalls enough of this process to integrate it into our various cultural and religious beliefs. However, most human thinking makes a fundamental error here between the concepts of retribution and redemption. At the shadow consciousness, humans do not see the true operation of grace through Christ's teaching of forgiveness. We do indeed atone for our sins in the afterlife, but only in order that we can be given a clean slate before our causal body returns once again. Because there is no defined sense of linear time in the Bardo states, it can indeed seem that our hell is eternal, just as it can seem that our heaven is eternal. The 22nd gene key thus allows your causal body to become brighter and clearer from incarnation to incarnation as you learn from your own suffering, both in form and out of form. At the shadow frequency, this process teaches you to accept your slice of group karma and offers you the opportunity to transmute it. This is what the Christ consciousness really is. It lies inside every single human being. We are forgiven over and over again, and the deeper we accept this grace, the more powerful the impulse for goodness becomes when we are in form. Eventually, our causal body becomes so resplendent that higher consciousness reaches down through it into the lower bodies, the mental, astral, and physical bodies, and begins to impact them powerfully. Our thoughts turn more to God, our emotions and desires become sacrificed for a higher cause, and eventually, even our physical body becomes radiant as the various slates layered over it become transparent. Instant karma. In light of the aforementioned, karma can perhaps be understood in a new and beautiful way. Individual karma does not travel beyond a single lifetime, even though it does pass into the human collective. Every negative act is recorded for future processing in the Bardo's, and it is stamped into the collective DNA of humanity, where it must eventually be redressed. Our karma at this level is shared, since humanity is really one entity. Contrary to certain popular beliefs, the conditions of your external physical life do not reflect your actions in past incarnations. The level of transparency of your causal body attracts the incarnative environment it needs to further its own evolution, whether those conditions are seen as good or bad. At the higher levels of transparency, the causal body will often take on greater suffering because there is a greater compassion manifesting through its vehicles. This evolutionary incarnative process follows a specific archetypal sequence known as the Nine Initiations, which we will explore at the end of this gene key. Even though karma is purified in the after-death state, it can manifest during a single lifetime. The law of cause and effect holds true on the material plane too. However, the material plane is extremely dense, which means that we do not always see the results of our good or bad actions, thoughts or words, quickly. Having said this, we are now living in a time towards the end of a great epoch, and at such times natural laws are often seen to bend. The general collective consciousness of humanity has been gathering in the Akashic Ocean for millennia, and as such it has effectively programmed the way in which that ocean functions. As our consciousness evolves more quickly, the turnaround for the law of divine memory is altering. In other words, karma is speeding up. Soon we will reach a point in evolution where redemption will manifest even on the physical plane. This is the epoch that is coming, the time of healing the sacred wound that causes human suffering. This last point ought to give us all something to think about regarding the way in which we handle our own emotions and thoughts. Soon, none of us will be able to hide the truth of our acts or feelings. In the not-too-distant future, the 22nd shadow will create almost instantaneous karma whenever someone behaves dishonorably. This will utterly change the way we see ourselves and the world around us. Justice is a universal law. However, human beings at lower frequencies too often misinterpret this beautiful law as retribution or revenge. Because of grace, evolution cannot travel backwards, and it is not possible for form to devolve. It is all a matter of how finely tuned are the strings of your DNA. If you tune them to the lower frequencies, not only will you prevent yourself from experiencing joyousness, but you will also add to the weight of human karma stored in our collective ancestral DNA. In this sense, all human beings are given the feeling of free will in order to experience the consequences of their own deeds. But the key point here is that we do not learn through punishment and retribution, as so many religions would have us believe. We learn through joyousness and fulfillment, which comes through the 22nd gift, the wonderful gift of graciousness. Repressive nature, proper. The 22nd shadow in its repressive phase gives rise to a deeply false sense of character. These people may appear outwardly very balanced, calm and proper. They can often be extremely socially adept. Inwardly, however, their emotions are often seething. They can hide deep sexual lusts and often foster deep hatred and resentments. A good archetype of propriety is the Victorian age in Great Britain. On the surface, the general culture was one of politeness and control, when in fact it concealed an underworld of repressed passion, sexuality, and aggression. All the repressive shadows are rooted in a deep-seated fear. The fear of the 22nd shadow is the fear of losing control. We should remember that no shadow is in itself bad. It matters how we deal with it. If you have a repressive nature, you can use it positively to transform inward negativity, rather than letting it stew and stew until it erupts. However, if there is no sense of virtue in these people, this shadow can conceal the most violent and explosive of natures. Reactive nature, inappropriate. The reactive version of the 22nd shadow manifests as inappropriate or antisocial behavior. These people cannot control their emotional reactions. They often lead fairly disreputable but passionate lives, wearing their hearts on their sleeves. Their actions and behaviour are usually destructive, initially more towards others than themselves. Even in its shadow, this archetype has such creative power that these people can produce wonderful art or music, but so often their inability to handle their own passions and treat others with respect leaves their private lives in tatters. Above all, these people have an inability to listen, either to others or to themselves. Thus, even when their intentions are good, they are doomed to be mistimed and misunderstood. The 22nd gift, graciousness, the milk of human kindness. The 22nd gift is the gift of graciousness. It is a rare and beautiful quality that has a profound effect on everyone it touches. Graciousness means that whatever you do in life, you always consider the feelings of others. This is one of the great social gifts, and if it is a part of your hologenetic profile, then your whole life is geared towards impacting people's emotions in a positive way. Even if this gift is not a primary aspect of your profile, it still has a huge capacity to completely transform your life and the lives of everyone you meet. The 22nd gift is not just about stirring people's feelings, but also about touching their hearts and even their souls. Graciousness means that you act with grace and consideration in everything you do. Just like its shadow, the 22nd gift is extremely powerful in its effect upon others. As the shadow can leave another feeling utterly dishonored and disturbed, the gift of graciousness can greatly help others become free of their negatively charged emotions. There is a profound kindness at the core of this gift that can elevate others beyond their normal consciousness to states of love, laughter, or tears. For this reason, many people connected with this gift assume artistic, musical, or vocal roles in life where they can influence others through their natural social grace. As we saw with the shadow, people at the lower aspects of this gene key do not acknowledge their accountability for what they say or do. At the gift level, however, you begin to see that all is interconnected, all things and all people. You realize at a deep level that we are all being listened to, and you inherently know that if you do someone an injustice, it will come back to you. This in turn means that other people feel deeply understood and listened to around this gift. This profound awareness of karma means that a great deal of your work in life will lie in the sphere of relationships and the emotions. At the gift frequency of this gene key, you learn to temper your own emotions, releasing them safely without disrespecting others or yourself. With the gift of graciousness, you begin to disperse your own karma and that of your ancestral DNA. This is a huge task, and it means that even though your relationships may be deeply challenging, you always maintain a frequency of respect around others. The 22nd gift also ensures that you balance your respect of others with a healthy dose of self-respect by not allowing yourself to become a victim of someone else's emotions. This delicate balance between service and self-love marks you as someone who profoundly understands the power of emotional suffering. Because of this, others will look to you for guidance and authority. The gift of graciousness might also be called the gift of soul. It is the ability to live life to the full, holding no feelings back, whilst at the same time having deep respect for the feelings of others. If you are fortunate enough to tap into the higher qualities of the 22nd gift, your life can be filled with art, music, romance, deep relationships, and enchantment. But above all else, this is the gift of living life from a place of deep love and soul. the Venus sequence, a direct transmission of graciousness. In the summer of 2004, during a rare transit of the planet Venus across the front of the sun, a profound knowledge came into the world. Called the Venus sequence, it uses the 64 gene keys in combination with astrological data to pinpoint the exact patterns of karma that an individual takes on during each incarnation. The Venus sequence reveals karma as a genetic sequence that unfolds throughout your life. Your ability to accept this karma with graciousness determines how quickly and easily you transcend your own suffering. Furthermore, as the sequence of your own karma unfolds and is transmuted, it reveals the higher frequencies that allow you to expand your consciousness and attain the higher states. The Venus sequence is the great science of human suffering, showing us precisely how every human being shares in world karma, or the sacred wound, through being genetically imprinted with it at the point of our conception. As we unravel our Venus sequence, we discover an inner path of awakening behind our suffering. This culminates in our having to embrace one of the six essential core human wounds. The six core wounds of humanity. 1. Repression. 2. Denial. 3. Shame. 4. Rejection. 5. Guilt. 6. Separation. These six patterns are laid down in a unique sequence in your DNA. Once you have access to your own sequence, you will finally understand the basic script of your life process, particularly as regards your relationships, where your karma is mostly played out. The wound itself is directly tied to the lower three bodies, the physical, emotional, and mental. Through clear mental understanding and a gentle emotional process of self-forgiveness, the very patterns that cause human beings so much pain actually lead us directly to liberation through the higher three bodies. This is both a process of evolution, described in depth in the 55th gene key, and a process of involution, whereby the higher frequencies within your DNA are being activated through the agency of grace. However, the prime teaching of the Venus sequence concerns showing another human being, through relationship, how to take responsibility for their own feelings instead of projecting them onto others. This ability is the very essence of the 22nd gift of graciousness, and is preparing humanity to make the great leap into freedom, the 55th gift. The 22nd Siddhi, Grace, the Seven Sacred Seals and the Biological Apocalypse. In the sacred book of Revelation, St. John the Divine wrote down his famous description of the apocalypse, the so-called Judgment Day, where all world karma is finally redeemed and all human suffering brought to an end. Despite centuries of misunderstanding by religion, the revelation of St. John contains some of the greatest initiatic secrets ever written down. One of these secret teachings is known as the Seven Sacred Seals. In allegorical form, St. John describes the sequential process of the opening of each of the seven seals by an angel, and the subsequent unfolding of the seven stages of the apocalypse itself. It is not until the final seventh seal is opened that evil is conquered and humanity ascends to a higher plane. When we decipher this allegory, we can see that each of the seven seals and its accompanying angel represents an agent of grace, an involving spiritual force, or siddhi, descending from the higher vehicles and directly affecting human DNA. The apocalypse is really a biological phenomena, a judgment day within our genes as a new species of human prepares to be born. Within the matrix of the 64 gene keys, There are 6 gene keys that directly reflect this involving power of grace, the 7th being the 22nd Siddhi of grace itself. The 7 sacred seals and their respective Siddhis. The 1st seal, divine will, 40th Siddhi. The 2nd seal, omniscience, 17th Siddhi. The 3rd seal, universal love, 25th Siddhi. The 4th seal, epiphany, 43rd Siddhi. The 5th seal, forgiveness, 4th Siddhi. The 6th seal, truth, 63rd Siddhi. The 7th seal, grace, 22nd Siddhi. The 22nd Siddhi of grace always works through the field of these 6 Siddhis or divine attributes. Thus we can see that each of these sacred seals is a divine code sent down from higher consciousness to heal a specific aspect of the sacred wound. Just as there are 6 aspects to the sacred wound, so there are 6 divine aspects responsible for healing that wound. This process takes place both individually and collectively and is described here. The opening of the 1st seal, divine will. The 1st seal is opened by the Siddhi of divine will, which heals human repression. Repression is the primary wound of humanity, since it refers to the very storage of karma in the DNA of the physical body. It is because of the layers and layers of karma in your DNA that the higher, subtle bodies are obscured from your awareness. Karma is a deep physical tension expressed as fear, and it inhabits every cell of your body. Only through the grace of the 40th Siddhi can this karma be transmuted. The 40th Siddhi represents divine will, which is the only force powerful enough to transform all the layers of tension. Divine will actually means complete relaxation, so as this seal opens throughout humanity, the physical body finally comes into complete relaxation. As it relaxes progressively into deeper and deeper states, the higher subtle bodies can express themselves fully. In the end, your body becomes nothing more than a completely relaxed instrument of divine will. Because this seal has to do with releasing core tension from the physical body, at a collective level, it will eventually eradicate all disease from our planet. The opening of the 2nd seal, omniscience. The 2nd seal is opened by the 17th Siddhi of omniscience, and its target is the wound of denial. Denial is the external expression of fear as anger and aggression. If your core wound is denial, then you are unable to see and take responsibility for your own negative behavior. The more someone tries to show you your denial, the more powerful it becomes. Throughout humanity, this wound expresses itself through fundamentalism, violence, and sexuality. The only force that can break denial is omniscience, which is what occurs when, even if only for a split second, your vision is opened and your higher bodies literally look down into your mental and astral bodies. This notion of being seen through comes as a deep shock to the recipient, who usually experiences a complete and permanent rebirth after the event. Once you can see your own denial, it is no longer denial. It is through the opening of this 2nd seal that certain people experience sudden conversions or higher callings. At the collective level, this seal will bring great healing to human sexuality and will eventually extinguish violence. The opening of the 3rd seal, universal love. The 3rd seal is opened through the 25th Siddhi of universal love. This is one of the most pervasive forms of divine grace, and as it reaches down into human beings, it triggers a huge wave of release that can spread from person to person like a positive virus. This seal heals the human wound of shame. Shame is brought about by a profound feeling of worthlessness. It is out of this feeling of deep shame that the whole world of hierarchy and competitiveness has come about. As the city of universal love descends into humanity, our urge to escape our own shame through selfishness and greed gives way to feelings of great joy and self-love. It is this self-love that leads to altruism and philanthropy rather than competition. Shame is obsessed with hiding, but universal love shows you that no matter where you hide, love is still there. It is through the opening of this third seal that you finally begin to enjoy life for what it is, rather than always chasing some ideal future. As humanity experiences this opening, it will lead to a complete breakthrough in the way we use money and a final ending to human greed. The opening of the fourth seal, Epiphany. The fourth seal is opened by the 43rd Siddhi of Epiphany, symbolized by the descent of the Dove of Peace. Epiphany heals the wound of rejection, the wound that keeps human beings from opening their hearts fully to one another. Epiphany is actually a shattering experience in which the higher three bodies, symbolized by the gifts of the three magi of the Christian Epiphany, explode through into the lower bodies, opening the heart from the inside. As this seal is opened, the many barriers that humans have erected will begin to fall away. Our countries, borders, armies, and all aspects that attempt to protect and defend us from each other. On an individual level, the fourth seal opens the potential for you to lead a truly romantic life where you need hide nothing from anyone and in which you wear your heart openly on your sleeve. Once human beings overcome the fear of external rejection, they become pure agents of grace through their friendliness, openness, and honesty. On a collective level, this seal opens the heart center in humanity and manifests as kindness. This city will bring an end to world poverty. The opening of the fifth seal, Forgiveness. The fifth seal is opened through the fourth city of forgiveness. As one of the great involving cities of grace, forgiveness has a special purpose. To work its way backwards into the collective DNA of humanity, releasing the many karmic blocks that plague the various gene pools. The fifth seal is specifically targeted to heal the patterns of unconscious guilt upon which karma is built. Guilt is a kind of karmic debt which exists between one person and another, or even between one race and another. As the power of forgiveness works its way into the human genome, so many ancestral curses will finally be lifted. This seal in particular has the capacity to create world peace, as individuals and whole nations forgive others the debts they are owed. The grace that comes with forgiveness has unprecedented power and brings a sense of true justice back to humanity. Forgiveness is a direct manifestation of the fifth body, the Buddhic body, which has the capacity to literally burn karma out of our DNA. At a collective level, the releasing of all this world karma will bring an end to war. The opening of the sixth seal, Truth. As the final stage in the sequence, the seventh is the glorious afterglow, the sixth seal delivers the coup de grâce as it heals the ultimate human wound, that of separation. Because to most of us the higher realities of our true nature are obscured, we have essentially been separated from the divine for most of our lives. Because we feel this separation so keenly, we constantly seek fulfillment in the outer world. Ironically, it is this very seeking that keeps us from experiencing our true nature, which is to be found deep within our own suffering. The opening of the sixth seal is made possible through the 63rd Siddhi of Truth. Truth is something you become one with rather than something you find out there. Through the opening of this seal, every individual will come to know their true nature as an aspect of one vast consciousness. Absolute truth is a collective phenomenon that will one day be fully embodied as the whole of humanity spontaneously recognizes itself as a single divine organism. Only then, at that marvelous moment, will all human seeking and striving come to an end. So it is that this 63rd city, through its direct realization and expansive embodiment, will bring a crushing end to the greatest of human curses, indifference. The opening of the seventh seal, grace. In the Book of Revelations, the opening of the seven seals is surrounded by a layer upon layer of rich apocalyptic imagery. Unless you are well versed in alchemical symbolism, it will be very difficult for you to penetrate to the true meaning of this wonderful prophetic transmission. There is, moreover, a demarcation between the opening of the first six seals and the opening of the seventh seal. The seventh seal involves seven angels and seven trumpets, which sound the final judgment of humanity. The seventh seal is the spirit of grace itself, represented by the 22nd city, and grace descends only after great transmutation. It is like the rainbow that appears after the great storm, bringing complete transfiguration, the 47th city. On an individual level, the seventh seal represents the final absorption of all the previous six layers of the human aura into the monadic body, the primordial essence. At this level, even the flood of revelations and high frequencies of the atmic body must be surrendered into the void of what the mystics term the seventh heaven. We are told in the book of Genesis that God rested on the seventh day of creation, and this sevenfold pattern is reflected in many other cultural traditions. In the Hindu system, when the seventh chakra, known as the Sahasrara, blooms, the divine essence can finally reunite with the material plane. St. John describes this event as the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. As this seventh monadic plane absorbs the final vestiges of our separateness, each plane below and its frequencies disintegrate to be reintegrated as the true monadic essence. This is the meaning of the sounding of the seven trumpets, which represent the seven layers of frequencies of the human aura. At the collective level, the opening of the seventh seal refers to the coming of the final human epoch and the return of the human race to its original Edenic state. It is the great trumpet fanfare announcing the redemption of all beings. The meaning of spiritual initiation. The final aspect of the transmission through the 22nd gene key follows the story of the individual human soul itself. All human stories enact the same mythic process or storyline, albeit in infinite and uniquely diverse forms. As our incarnative process recycles into new and different forms, each activating different inferences of human DNA during each lifetime, our great transgenerational story deepens. Like all great drama, we are weaving a multidimensional tapestry of different colors, tones, and hues from the rich fabric of experience. Throughout every incarnative story, however, stands one immutable question that keeps us coming back. The question of our suffering. It is our changing relationship to this question that marks the various stages in our journey through time and space. There are nine major landmarks along the way, and they are known as the nine portals of planetary initiation. Spiritual initiation can mean many different things to people. The word initiation itself might conjure up all sorts of mystical rites you may have witnessed or heard of. Certainly in tribal societies, initiation is seen as a rite of passage, particularly for young men who must perform some kind of test at a certain threshold age before entering full manhood. Other ancient teachings and or societies have systems of initiation that are performed as elaborate rituals at certain stages in an aspirant's life. In truth, however, spiritual initiation is a natural organic process that occurs to all human beings at a certain point in their lives. In essence, initiation refers to the naturally unfolding stages of all spiritual awakening. Initiation occurs to you no matter what you are doing in your life, and once it has begun in earnest, when you have passed through the first initiation, it is irreversible and inevitable. The Nine Portals of Planetary Initiation. The Nine Portals of Planetary Initiation are a synthesis of the initiation rites of many different cultures and lineages. Listed here are the nine stages, followed by brief introductions to each. 1. Birth. 2. Baptism. 3. Confirmation. 4. Matrimony. 5. Annunciation. 6. Communion. 7. Ordination. 8. Sanctification. 9. Glorification. The First Initiation. Birth. The first initiation marks the very beginning of your journey towards eventual transcendence and enlightenment. This initiation may pass with little or no recognition that anything has occurred within your consciousness. There comes a time in every soul's life when it has to move beyond its basic mammalian survival programming. The first stage of passing this threshold really concerns the development of the mental body. In your early evolution, you are simply overwhelmed by the desire nature of the astral body, and this remains the central focus of your whole being. First, it is interested in survival. Then, having mastered survival, it becomes interested only in pleasure. Lifetimes follow in which pleasure is pursued in any and every possible way. In one sense, the soul is trying to define what pleasure or happiness is and how it can be captured. Despite fleeting glimpses of happiness, the soul fails in finding true fulfillment through the outer senses and gradually turns its lens on the real prize, suffering itself. In looking into the nature of suffering, the mental body must first detach itself from the astral body, which means that for the first time, the soul must consider its own nature. This turning inward marks a huge shift in focus in the life of the soul, because in looking at its own nature, it must also begin to consider the feelings and thoughts of others. In the deepest sense, the first initiation is a birth out of selfishness and into service in its broadest form. It is marked by the ability and willingness of an individual to accept responsibility for his or her actions. It is the birth of a true morality, not in the sense of adhering to an outer code or set of laws, but of the natural human spirit of helpfulness and harmlessness. After the first initiation, the soul becomes aware that greater pleasure is derived from giving than from taking, and this becomes the foundation of the higher life. In the world around us today, many people have passed through the first initiation. There is no set of beliefs or any common mission that unites these people, save that of wanting to leave the world a better place for future generations. They can be spiritual, atheistic, opinionated, even dogmatic, but they cannot be indifferent to their own or another's suffering, and this is what makes them so powerful and so precious. The Second Initiation, Baptism. The second initiation is very different from the first. Whereas the first initiation is a general build-up of basic human goodness over a long period, the second initiation of baptism comes as a surprise. At the second initiation, The Spirit of grace descends through the layers or bodies of form and bestows a moment of higher contact upon the recipient. Baptism is a sudden immersion in the higher frequencies of your own higher vehicles, and as such, it always comes as something of a shock. As with all shock, it takes a long time to come to terms with what has happened to you. The duration of the experience varies greatly from person to person, and as the higher frequencies subside, the lower bodies are left with the task of recalibrating and readjusting to the influx of the new frequencies. During this period of readjustment, many things may take place within an individual. The existing mental framework tries to place the experience within its old paradigm or within a paradigm recognized by society. Many people experience the second initiation as a higher calling into one of the great religions. Others continue to grapple with the experience and may even go through a mental or nervous breakdown. Another common response is prolonged depression and a longing to return to the high frequency state. Still others may even go into denial and try to forget the experience altogether. Baptism as such can be extremely challenging as it sets you apart from the rest of society in some way. It is, in a sense, a kind of purgatory, since you have tasted the higher life and can never entirely forget it. If you are able to handle the frequencies of the higher bodies and can incorporate the experience cleanly in your life, grace will periodically revisit you and baptize you in the higher frequencies of the causal body. The second initiation is an ongoing baptism in the higher reality, and the more readily the experience is digested, the more energy becomes available to you. We need to remember that the bodies above the causal body constitute your higher self. They know exactly how and when to allow the higher frequencies down into the lower vehicles. The period after the second initiation may also last many lifetimes as the causal body gains a stronger foothold over the astral and mental bodies, the sexual and intellectual faculties. Baptism is thus an initiation into purification, in which your lower essences are gradually refined in order to be able to hold a more sustained higher vibration. The third initiation, confirmation. In some traditions, the third initiation is understood to be the first true initiation, because it is not until this confirmation arrives that a person becomes stable in their purpose of seeking the divine. Confirmation is another gift of grace that is given as a kind of reward to the recipient. It is evident from their names that these initiations are taken from the Christian tradition. Their mystery can be further understood through the original layout of the Christian church. The birth represents the entry into the church itself, the body of the higher presence. The baptism is always made at the font, which is usually located at the back of the church, between the entrance and the congregation, and represents the introduction of the child as a member of the church. During Christian confirmation, a young person is officially initiated as a member of the congregation, whose arena is the main body of the church itself. Confirmation gives the young church member their first taste of a much higher initiation, that of the Holy Communion. In the list of the 9 initiations, you can see that they are laid out in threes. This is one of the great mysteries of initiation, which is based upon final immersion into the Holy Trinity. At each of the 3 levels, the seeker enters into deeper communion with the triple nature of the Trinity. Thus, at the 3rd initiation, the seeker has a taste of the 6th initiation and very faintly detects the echo of the 9th initiation. So it is with each of the other levels. Confirmation is actually a fairly high vibratory initiation. It denotes having reached a stable frequency in which your commitment has been tested and found strong, and your lower nature has shown itself to be capable of some degree of sacrifice. At this level, the mystery of sacrifice is understood.